This is CliffCentral.com.
That's right. No more bullshit. That's right. Isn't that what Lucas used to say? That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. It is the 2nd of May. Big thank you to everybody for all the birthday wishes for CliffCentral.com. It came in yesterday. We had lots of love all over social media, which is always nice. And, you know, there's not a lot of love on social media, so whenever it does come, we appreciate it. Yes, we do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so here we are. Brand new day. A very chilly morning. You can feel like, I'm sure everybody is. Summer is officially over. And if you thought that you weren't in the throes of autumn properly, you know, they always divide the year up. They say, well, there are four seasons. Each season has 3 months. So technically, the months of autumn need to be March, April, May. Right?
But yeah, March is also summer, though.
Well, is it? Because yeah, then you're giving out summer 4 months, because there's no doubt that summer is November, December, and January.
Yeah, but we get extra of everything in this country, though.
Yeah, okay, fine. So then let's make December, let's say that you have 4 months of summer. So you've got November, December, January, February, March, five.
Yeah.
Okay, then we have to give winter a couple more, you know, an extra month.
No.
Yeah, you can't. What's good for the, you know, you add to one side of the equation, you got to add to the other. That's how algebra taught us to work things.
Gareth, whoever said that the seasons have to be equal? It's like there's nothing equal in life. You get good ones, you get bad ones.
Well, if you live at the equator, you know, at the equator there's no real summer or winter. It's mostly the same.
You just sweat.
You sweat a little more. And
what
little
season
less.
Is it? Sweat.
Thought.
How was everybody's public holiday? What did you do? How was Chance the Rapper, Sia?
Y'all.
Good?
I don't even know where to begin. Firstly, I like Chance's music, so I knew I was going to enjoy it. But the entire Castle Light and Lux experience was just one for the books, definitely. I don't know whether this is something that Castle Light intentionally did, or it just unconsciously happened, even though it was a great thing. But there's something about them always getting these artists who are ahead of their time to a certain extent, and also these guys who have just started out in their careers and they've achieved great things, but they still have a long way to go. So the likes of bringing Chance in, because he's only like 24 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid.
He's won Grammys already, and he's still not signed to any label because that's his decision. But as well, the South African musicians. And so when all of these people hit the stage in some way or another, they just all expressed how amazing it is that they have this platform, and this is such a good moment for them, and they wanted to share that. And I think there's something so cool about seeing someone, you know, just happy for themselves and really enjoying a moment, which makes you enjoy the moment even more.
You realize how much it means to them, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it was just a good vibe overall. So Nadia Nakai and Shane Eagle and Frank Casino. But this is what also Castle Light did, which we didn't know. They had a lot of surprise acts up their sleeve. So we thought, okay, cool. It's all good and well. Shane Eagle's on stage. Next thing, Casper Nyovest rocks out.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loses it. Major League DJ popped up, Nasty C popped up.
They weren't expecting him, right?
No.
Yeah, or Nasty C.
So really, you're just standing there going, okay, time's going by, that's it, it's all cool and fun, and then all of these surprise acts, it was ridiculous. And I've been to the Dome for many different events and concerts, but I've never seen the Dome look that good as well. So production, you know, it's all the way to the fact that if you picture the dome and the ceiling right at the top, there was this massive rig in the shape of a snowflake, and the stage itself had different moving screens, and you never knew where the acts would pop out.
Wow.
At a point, there were motorbikes coming out.
Because, you know, sometimes they're so busy hyping up a show that they don't and actually put the effort into the show itself.
Yes.
Because they reckon, oh, well, once people are there, our work is done, you know.
The production value was massive. Even just outside, there were different spots where you could take pictures, and there was fake snow. It was amazing.
Didn't Chance also do a little session with the Soweto Gospel Choir?
So, excuse me.
Wow.
By the way, this is all just an... Everything that really thrilled me came before Chance. And when Chance came, I lost my entire being, and I enjoyed all of his music. And right towards the end, we thought, oh, you know, Chance is about to do the general I love the motherland speech, but he really says, I will never forget this evening. I've always wanted to come to South Africa. Johannesburg, I love you. And then the stage goes black. We go, how? But you just said you've loved us and now you're leaving us. And we, when the Soweto Gospel Choir comes out, you instantly recognize their voice. So in this darkness, they start humming. And look, I still get goosebumps from that moment. They start humming. The stage goes light again, and you see the Soweto Gospel Choir standing there, and they sing, they accompany Chance in one of his songs.
That's fantastic. You know, those guys, if you think about it, they're probably our most successful international artists.
Sure, hugely so.
They've worked with everyone. I mean, everybody, and they've performed for way bigger audiences than any South African group or singer. They are probably our most proud export, I'd say, musically.
It was amazing.
God, I love those guys. And well, you know, to them.
Just to emphasize as well how amazing Castle was throughout all of this, Soweto Gospel Choir and Chance wrapped the evening up. But as everyone was leaving the dome, everyone was still chanting the song they were singing. And it was sort of so corny, but you felt like you wanted to hold hands with everyone because you were still singing.
Nice.
And we were outside waiting for our Ubers, but everyone was still singing. It was freezing cold, but you thought, you know, it's fine. It was an awesome night.
And I take it from hospitality, it looked even better.
Oh, well.
The part you see, it did not mix with the peasants on this one. Walking out. For all his walking out hand in hand, he was so not with the peasants.
That's why he was so taken by us the first time he saw masses of people.
Not to sound pompous, but I do enjoy the finer things of life. And our VIP was situated directly in front of the stage. We were able to stand on the second floor, looking down on everyone and looking straight ahead at Chance. I loved it.
Did you rattle your jewelry at them?
Just clutched my pearls, waved at everyone down below. But the food was good as well. So I did not complain at all.
That's great. All right. Well, there we go. That's the Castle Light Unlocks concert that we've been talking about nonstop for like 2-3 months. And at least it was a phenomenal success by the sound of things. So I'm very happy about
that. And it's still trending right now on Twitter.
Good.
What, 2 days later?
That's great. That's absolutely great. All right, so how was your day, Mubs? What did you get done? Were you at work?
I had to work. And then I've done something to my neck.
Oh, no.
That I'm a little bit fucked.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
So I need, like, to
go... You need physio?
I don't know what I need, but whatever it is going to need to get sorted out today.
So is it, like, bunched up?
It's bunched up. I can't really move. As I was driving this morning, trying to turn to look at my blind spot, it was just... So I need to just get myself pulled and twisted and stretched out.
I haven't had one of those sort of sessions for a long time. I've got sort of used to a bit of a crick in the neck because I also sleep... As we've discussed all this stuff, I sleep stupidly on my stomach, and therefore your head always turns one way, right?
You have a dominant side as well.
Right.
Like you'll tend to be always on the left.
Exactly. So I always turn my head to the left, so I have one sleeping position, and I'm trying to vary it, but then I'm not as comfortable. So you get used to it, and then, like Mabale, you sort of end up with some kind. Did you think you did it in your sleep or while you were awake?
I think I did it while I was awake.
Did you suddenly pull? Was there a low sort of overhanging doorway or something and you kind of...
Yeah, there was a moment where I just felt my body get all tense.
Then
it got progressively worse.
Muscle relaxants, Mubs.
Yes, I need those. Or a horse tranquilizer, preferably. You know, the muscle relaxants are a bit of... they're a bit of child's play right now for me.
A horse tranquilizer.
I need something that's going to knock me out.
These are the moments when I really don't judge Michael Jackson much. Because, you know, he used to take, propofol to sleep.
Just
knocks him out.
Yes.
You know, on my worst tired days, I think, MJ, you were onto something.
Well, he certainly didn't go out bunched up.
Oh, no.
Right. He didn't go out with tension and stress in his muscles.
No, sure. he must have been very relaxed.
How tired must you be to need propofol, though?
That's what killed him, right?
Yeah.
That's
very took dangerous. So
much. Dr. Conrad Murray gave him so much propofol, he just didn't come back.
Now that I think about years later.
I'm going to stay here on the heaven light side. I ain't going to come back, Dr. Conrad Murray. Jeez. Michael, come back. No, Daddy. No. Because Joseph, you know, was like, come back. We still ain't made as much money as we could out of you. Meanwhile, I mean, isn't his estate the most valuable deceased estate in the world?
I still don't think they haven't done as much as they could.
Well, I'll tell you what, those kids of his are riding.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Neverland could be the Graceland. Graceland is still earning tons of money.
Neverland, I mean, that's just the weirdest place. I mean, who wants to go there with those funny rides and like, just the air of pedophilia hanging in the air?
Yeah, Scrapper turned to a golf estate.
You reckon?
There's been suggestions that it might go to that.
Okay.
It's a lovely piece of land.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's in the valley there in California, or one of the valleys. It's magnificent.
See, because I don't even think the Michael Jackson estate even owns Neverland.
No. See? I think he had to sell it. But they should. Like, the guy is just, he was a one of a kind. And I see what you mean, Sia, about, you know, if Elvis can have Graceland, then there's got to be a Neverland for Michael Jackson. It would be a tourist trap.
Exactly.
People would go.
Would make tons of money.
People would definitely go.
But then it'd be like licensing all the Michael stuff. So Joe's got it.
Well, Joe has nothing. Michael left Joe nothing. I think he left Catherine some. That's his mother. And he left the kids everything. And those kids, I mean, I don't know what they're doing with their lives. I hope they're doing something productive, because I see Paris and she's like, you know, hobnobbing around and being a celebrity, which is not a job.
Well, she's doing this whole modeling thing. Yeah. She's big on social media these days.
I wish she'd get a skill.
No, but celebrity kids in Hollywood never have to get a skill.
Yeah.
You know, they grow up in that environment, and that's all they're surrounded by. That's all they see. Plus, their parents have a ton of money.
Yeah, so they don't have
They're never actually forced to get a skill.
No.
And in a family like that, Aunt Latoya, you aren't about to tell me to get a job when you don't even have
Latoya hasn't worked since the 80s, since she did that penthouse shoot. Ben, have you got a selection of beanies today? What's the story?
Look, today is the day of the death pool. So what you see here with these beanies are just draw hats, really.
Oh, very good.
I thought because it's winter, rather put your hat into something warm and woolly than into something cold and papery.
Right, I like it. Okay, so we're going to do the death pool later on. That's an exciting part of
all
this morning.
All four of us, we draw 10 names.
Yes, because what we've done is we looked at the death pool the other day, and we all decided, first of all, it's a little outdated. Second of all, we didn't keep a record of it as we should have. So we actually missed out on people like Mendoza and Barbara Bush and Stephen Hawking and those sort of people. So we've redone it, and Ben has actually gone to the trouble of researching those most likely to die.
Well, it's a mixture of both, Gareth, because we were also instituting a point system this time around. So you take the person's age and you minus it from 100, the difference then being your points. So the more points you have at the end of the year, then you get a cash pot pool, which we're all putting together as well.
So in other words, if I ended up with Millie Bobby Brown, the girl from Stranger Things, she's like 14 or something.
Yeah.
If I minus that from 100, I get the motherload of points.
You get 86 points.
Guys. Right.
If you get Kirk Douglas, who's 103, you get plus 3 points. So you actually get a handicap.
It's a demerit.
It's a demerit. Yeah.
So I thought Kirk Douglas would be a...
So drawing Kirk Douglas would be almost...
It's a poison chalice.
It's a booby trap now. Oh. So this is how the death pool has evolved, and we'll reveal it today.
All right. Well, we'll get into that properly a little bit later on.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Don't our names score as extra
yes,
points?
Sorry. Oh. Very well pointed out there, Mubs. Yes. So... Each of us get one of the other cast members here of the show.
Yeah.
And then you basically get the points done of that, and you get a double. So if you get Sia, and Sia dies at a rock concert or wherever he goes, there's a very good chance that you'll be the winner come end of year.
Yeah, because Sia would get you 80...
Sia would get you about 97 off the bat. And
you'd get me 78 points.
Yes.
You'd get me 78 points. I'd multiply that by 2, so I'm in the money, man.
Oh,
156.
Y'all better not be putting bad juju on hoping I die soon.
No. Of course, yeah. Nobody's hoping, but that's what you get. That's the death pool.
At the same time, people like to win this. So.
And we are actually putting... Let's be clear. We are putting money in this. And the whole point of the death pool is you can play along. So in your own office, you take the same names we've got because we'll publish them on the website. And then you can do your own game. All right. Just some breaking news this morning. Do you want to hear the breaking news straight away? This is really important. No, of course. Of course we can have the song, but I thought we'd start. This is out of England. Tens of ribbons will go uncut as Prince William has to take 2 weeks of paternity leave.
I'm sorry, what?
Tens of ribbons will go uncut.
Oh.
You know, this is the major, obviously.
Oh.
The downside of Prince William having a kid is that all these ribbons are going to be uncut. So there we are.
Oh, they say that is all he does.
That's it. That's all he does.
Well, he's not exactly pushing Advanced Hair Studios, is he?
Oh, my God.
Hey, he just accepted his baldness.
No. What else is he accepting? His flatulence? His addiction of Tim Tams? Be better, man.
Going down pub for a beer.
Yeah.
We are 17 days away from the wedding. Just putting it out there.
I'm in London this coming weekend for a wedding.
Oh my goodness, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, and everyone will be all ready and excited
It's going to be like the trial run for the royal wedding.
It's a great time if you're in England. So 17 days of summer.
Now that just crabs on my...
Self-tan goes through the roof in sales.
It's going to be so warm for they're not going to know what to do.
Just don't wear white when you sit anywhere because you get orange in your pants.
No, it's going to be it's a very smart black tie wedding, and it's someone I've known for a long time, a friend, and she's getting married to this guy who is quite connected in British society. Not that she's unconnected. So it's going to be one of those weddings. You don't know who you'll end up sitting
with.
When
you say quite connected, what level?
Like right up there.
Like aristocrat? Like old money?
Yeah. Yep.
Like the Spencers of Diana?
Mm-hmm.
Stop. No, I was joking, but are you serious?
No, up there.
Can you bring a napkin?
Not going to steal the tablecloth.
It's not like who would cry over a napkin?
Why not?
No, you'll see.
If someone is wanting to go and dance on the dance floor and they take their earrings off and leave them on the table,
then I'll bring them for you.
It's called theft.
Oh, just left them.
They leave them there, I'll bring them for Sia.
This isn't the kind of wedding where the people are going to take off their hoops, Sia.
Yeah, also, I mean, unless you're starting a new dancing trend, your ears don't usually get involved when you need to get on the dance floor.
I don't know how comfortable women like to be. They keep their shoes off.
It'll be one of those weddings where everybody isn't just Sia or Mabali or Gareth or Ben. It's like one of those weddings where people will have a certain form of address.
Yes.
So you need to know what you call an archbishop and what you call a duke and what you call an earl and what you call a baron So it'll be fun.
Just a napkin, that's all.
Yeah. Well, there's lots to talk about this morning. I said thank you earlier to everybody who sent us very sweet messages and very kind messages and very sort of happy messages for our birthday yesterday. We turned 4. I cannot believe that this place is 4 years old. I mean, do you even remember what we were doing 4 years ago today?
I do.
The second
you were
show.
Blanking my calls and emails. No, piss off, Ben. I don't want you working here.
Oh.
Ben was kind of subtly letting me know he was available.
Well, I was like, you're not doing sports. I'll call you next week.
We were so busy. Oh, man, it was stress.
Second
you
of May, Julius Malema was here.
Yeah, Julius was here exactly then.
Oh, okay.
He's been back since, but in fact, we have him almost every 2 years.
Mm. Where are we in the cycle?
Well, I think he's due for another visit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's it.
Time for a comeback.
Julius came in as our second guest. We sat and spoke to him. I think it's the longest interview he's ever done. It was like 2 hours.
Jeez.
No.
And that seems crazy.
It was his first... Remember, it was the election year.
2014,
EFF had just been... They'd just been formed. So he couldn't get an interview on any radio station, certainly not the SABC ones.
Because he was deemed as a rebel. And
correct.
Yeah.
So he came to us and we spoke for like 2 hours. And
He was all dressed in red.
Yeah, he was terrific. He was really, really good. I mean, he was at his best.
Well, you couldn't find the place to start with. Someone had to go and pick him up from the petrol station.
That's right.
Which was odd.
It's weird. But they found him, and he found us, and eventually we got the thing going. But, I mean, it's amazing how, if I think back, we were, you know, there were the TV cameras in here. It was chaos. We were trying something new, which, thank God, after a month, I pulled the string on and said, no, this is done.
There were just always there were tons of people outside hundreds, as well.
There were just hundreds of people here every morning. It was impossible to focus on what we were actually here to do, which is to have interesting discussions with our audience. And I've got to say, like, one of the things that I want to bring back in a big way, since we're talking about what's going on here and how we've got to this point and everything else, is increasing the amount of interaction. And I don't mean the messages, much as I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of the calls and getting you to be able to talk to us on Skype, to be able to send in voice notes, that kind of thing. So we can actually include you in the show instead of me having to look at a screen and read, you know, sometimes what is a text message that isn't always easy to, you know, I suppose, wedge into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit complicated to do that sometimes. I don't always get the tone that you want delivered because I'm just reading it off the screen. It's much easier if someone says, and you can hear sarcasm and you can hear wit and you can hear all of those things that maybe if you're reading you just don't get. So we're going to be looking at ways to increase all of that over the next few months. And then some very exciting things that I think will ultimately bring to fruition that vision of 4 years ago of making sort of a visual component of what we're doing, because we've got big plans of taking this to new levels. And again, getting the big guests in and talking to the people who really matter in South Africa, which is an important part of what we want to do, make a positive contribution to the country. There are so many things that I watched this weekend that made me think we're desperate for a reinvention.
What do you mean?
Well, I saw yesterday the May Day rallies that they had all over the country, you know, COSATU and the SACP, and they drag out old carcasses like Bladen Zimande, and I'm not being mean about him in particular, but they're saying the same things they've been saying for like 30, 40 years. You see these 60 and 70 and 80-year-old people on stage the whole time, and I'm wondering, where are the young people? You know, where are the new ideas? Because this is all old. I mean, Blade standing there, it's just the most anachronistic thing I've ever seen. Blade Nzimande standing on stage in his red SACP outfit. And he's going, Amandla! And like the crowd are kind of half-heartedly going, oh, yeah, too. But you know, it's just such an old idea now. We've gone to new places as a country. There are new challenges. There are new concerns. People have got things that interest them that didn't interest them when people like Blade were, you know, supposedly in the struggle. Because Blade, there are a whole lot of people who say he wasn't really ever in the struggle. He was kind of at university hiding and not doing very much. I'm not one to talk because I don't know for sure. But that was an article I read at a time when he was very unpopular. And the only reason he survived that time, to his credit, because he's quite a swift mover, our Blade,
mm-hmm.
is that he suddenly turned on Jacob Zuma from being a stalwart supporter to being a critic of the former president. And he survived, so good for him. But I still think, here's this guy who must be in his late 60s, probably early 70s, and you can't tell me that a 20, 25-year-old is going to feel connected to him like they might be to someone their own age. And it just bothers me. In fact, I said it to Justice Malala last week when we were doing the Burning Platform. There aren't a lot of young leaders left in the ANC, actually, let alone the SACP or COSATU, because any of the young leaders who did have charisma and, you know, passion and fire left for the EFF, and the ones who are in the ANC have been largely sidelined. People like Malusi Gigaba and Fikile Mbalula, not that those are young men anymore, but they certainly were considered the young lions. There are not a lot of those left. When you think of the ANC, you don't think of a young party with fresh ideas. You think of an old party with old ideas.
But that's the whole cronyism kind of thing, right? It's a reflection of the party structures and just general plan.
Well,
they're not there to empower people. They're there to kind of
hold on to it for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, that's Blade's whole thing, right? I mean, the guy hasn't earned a rand anywhere outside of the taxpayer's purse for, I don't know, 25 years. Blade hasn't had to go out and earn money. So how is he meant to know how the world works? And for him to even talk about workers' rights is kind of insulting because he doesn't know what a worker goes through. He has no idea. He drives around in blue light brigades, gets state housing, gets paid from the taxpayer.
I think the young people are just occupying different spaces, that's all.
Yeah, it's
true. You're never going to see them on the same stage or the same platform with the older generation because of that disconnect. They're, you know, starting movements in their WhatsApp groups or on Twitter, yeah, or like in entirely different spaces.
But then why are these guys on TV? And why aren't these young people starting to make inroads into controlling the national discourse? I'd just like to see young people doing their thing and being able to choose very publicly between old political leaders and young people with new ideas. I agree with you. I totally agree with you that they're doing it in different ways. But that doesn't help us to define like what the important national conversations are, because the politicians aren't making them and the politicians aren't having them.
But there are a lot of older people in this country who are afraid to trust young leaders in any case.
Absolutely.
So...
Yeah, and I think that's true all over the world. The same thing's true in virtually every nation on earth right now. I mean, you've got some leaders who've been in office for like 40 years, you know? And you think, how is this possible? But maybe young people are just opting out of the system as well.
Yeah.
Which is what Mabali's saying, is that, you know, they kind of, there's nothing in the system for them, so why do they hang around there? Don't need to. I just saw it and I suddenly thought, it's so weird. Like watching Blade on that stage yesterday for May Day, and I saw it in the gym, so I wasn't listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him mouthing Amandla and all the rest, and you could see the crowd was kind of, it was maybe a quarter of the capacity of the stadium that he was in. And, you know, Cyril's dancing next to him, which is also, it's just such an old way of doing things. Nothing has changed for these guys for 30 years, maybe 40 years. And you feel like they really should have come up with some fresh ideas by now. But there we go. Mubs is right. The, you know, people with the fresh ideas aren't hanging around stadiums on Workers' Day. They're really not. Anyway, there's lots to talk about this morning, and we've got to get into some of these stories, so let's get stuck straight in. First things first, the five things you need to know this morning with Mabali Moloi. Take it away, Mubs.
Alrighty then, a bit of good news, I suppose, after the incident that unfolded at the Moses Mabhida Stadium about 2 weeks ago, reports that three more people have been arrested for that violence. They were arrested in connection with the public violence at the stadium, as angry Kaizer Chiefs supporters invaded the pitch and they destroyed chairs, video cameras and other property after the team lost to Free State Stars during the game. A security guard was also severely hurt by some of the soccer supporters. Initially, only one person had been arrested for that incident, but now three more names being added onto that list of people being accused of being part of the violence.
I mean, I suppose it's hard to find who these people are, right? Because you've got camera footage, but it's not the best.
Well, you know, the Twitter detectives, who, yeah, when at times they are needed, they mm-hmm. will never let you down. They very quickly manage to isolate video footage of people who were involved in destroying TV cameras and just causing part of the ruckus. And the videos went viral on social media immediately. And, you know, like the police minister would get tagged in on these. So Twitter detectives
shot those scenes. Then they found their Facebook accounts, which means that they found their names and surnames. Yes. Then that's how we found out whether they're Orlando Pirates or Chiefs supporters. Yes, as these people.
Very good.
Yeah.
You can rely on a few people, the Twitter detectives. There we go.
And then the Zimbabwe Parliament has apparently summoned their former president, Robert Mugabe, to give evidence in a probe into diamond corruption. According to Themba Mliswa, who is the Mines and Energy Parliament Committee Chairman.
Billions and billions and billions.
He told the state-owned Herald newspaper that they have set May the 9th as the date on which he will give evidence. The newspaper also saying that Mugabe is being asked to explain a claim he made back in February of 2016 that the country could have been prejudiced of more than $15 billion in unrealized diamond revenue.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. You see, the chickens are coming home to roost. Everybody thought, oh, well, he'll get away with whatever, you know. But there he's being summoned to report on this blood diamond situation.
And then another drug bust at OR Tambo International Airport. The multidisciplinary approach to safety and security at the airport is yielding results. Members of the SA Police Service Crime Intelligence Unit and SA Revenue Service Customs intercepted a suspect with drugs worth an estimated 1.8 million rand in two large parcels at the airport earlier this week. A 37-year-old suspect from Guatemala was on a flight from Sao Paulo to Mozambique. The passenger was asked if he could be searched, which he did not deny, and so his luggage was searched, and the search revealed two packages wrapped in foil containing a powder suspected to be cocaine. And it's worth now estimated to be at 1.8 million rand. He will be appearing in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court soon.
I wonder what you think at that point when you're asked to be searched, because you know you're screwed.
Yeah.
You can't deny it. You can't lie about it. You can't run away from it.
So funny. I was watching a show. When was this? It must have been last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I was having dinner with my sister and my folks, and they had the TV on, and there was this thing, well, you know that border patrol?
Airport something. Thing. Yes.
It was on just before supper last night, and I was watching this, and they pulled some woman at JFK out of the queue, and they asked her, I think she was coming in from Jamaica or something. I said to her, have you got any food? And she's like, no, I don't have any food. So they go through her stuff, and she's got tons of food. She had, like, potatoes.
What?
She had a chicken. She had,
no.
Like, not like a live chicken.
Yes,
but like a frozen chicken, but it was obviously thawing out. I mean, people carry such... Who takes shit like that through an airport? It's probably, for the aggravation it can cause you, it's probably just a whole lot more sensible to buy your chicken on the other side, you would think. And potatoes?
Yeah.
Because they're going to confiscate all that stuff, and you're going to be body cavity searched, and it's going to be horrible for you. What kind of idiot goes on a plane with... And this woman had potatoes, she had chicken, she had... And I'm not talking about cooked stuff. This was like raw stuff, right? Mm. She had a whole lot of, like, beans and things. She just had this stack of crap in her luggage. She didn't travel with clothes or with toiletries like most of us do. She had fucking food.
And that's not really much of an excuse.
What is wrong with someone?
Because if you were bringing Jamaican cuisine for family members who live in America,
not bringing
that's
spices from Jamaica.
Nope,
or anything
like just full chicken.
She could have made that there. What she had in her bag was stuff that was available in New York.
But there's definitely a reason why it happens, because it happens...
First-time travelers a lot of the time.
It happens the world over. No. You know, and it's canned goods as well are a big...
Oh, did like, you think your layover deal. Would be so long that you had to make some chicken
No,
in the
there's
airport.
A reason why it happens. Like, I'm not so quick to just, you know, like, call them names or whatever. I'd actually love to know, like, okay, so why do you do it? Why do you take it?
Well, the woman asked
the
her.
Canned goods.
Because now she's lied about it as well.
Are you taking it to your grandmother back at home? I'd like, how does it work?
Here's the deal. So the security woman, the customs woman, says to her, why did you lie to me? I asked you if you had food. And she just looks at her, like, dumbstruck. And there's no communication problem. They both speak English. She's just like, well, she's been caught red-handed, right?
Oh, no.
So then she says, look, you're not allowed to bring this stuff in because it could have diseases in it. The woman goes, oh, okay, I didn't know. She says, but we tell you on both sides, when you leave Jamaica, they tell you at the airport you can't, there's a sign that says you can't take this stuff on. And on this side, when you get off the plane, there's a sign that tells you if you do have this stuff, you've got to declare it. This woman's like, oh, she's playing dumb, like she doesn't understand.
I just would have gone with the whole exchange rate thing.
It's the same as those people who get on a plane and think it's their lounge.
Seeds are also a big thing.
Seeds are a big thing.
Seeds get smuggled in.
Right.
Like, tell me, what are you planning to do with these seeds?
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
Sunflower seeds.
Well,
all kinds.
All kinds of seeds.
Endangered plant species. People will bring in maize from home. People will bring, you know, something to grow, some herb that they have in their garden at home that they need to take to their daughter in Philadelphia. I don't know.
It's just so weird.
You know what? It's crazy. You watch these shows, you cannot believe what people will do. Madness. All right, I've got lots to talk about in a short while, including Michelle Wolf, who was the star of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which was hilarious. I actually listened to a whole 19 minutes, and I've got a couple of highlights to play for you from that. She got into some serious trouble, though, because post that, people have been saying, oh, it was the most terrible thing, and these comedians have got out of control. And then some people saying, well, if she's so out of control, how about the president and his administration that seems to be out of control, that doesn't have a stop? And if she's just unfunny, then she's failing as a comedian, which she certainly wasn't. But if they're failing as an administration and embarrassing the whole world, if not just America, then what kind of a job are they doing? So people were talking about that this weekend as well. Cryptocurrencies, to give you a quick indication. Bitcoin, $9,190.72. Ethereum trading at $690.74. And some of the other little ones like Ripple at $0.857. All right, there's a quick look at that for you. Let's turn our attention now to Ben, who's ready to give us some info about what's going on in the world of sport this week. And don't forget also our death pool later on.
Well, as Gareth gets set to go to England for that little bit of summer they do have, everyone's obviously focusing on Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. When is Wimbledon?
It's in June.
Okay.
I hope.
Still got a month to go.
Still got a month to go, but a couple of things. Firstly, the prize fund is being upped.
Ooh.
So last year, Roger Federer and Garbiñe Muguruza, they won £2.2 million. Well, the winner this year wins £2.25 million. £34 million.
Was it not enough?
Well, they've always got to keep upping it, okay? So it's up 7.6% from last year.
Huh. Is that just to keep up with inflation?
It's a lot of money to be a tennis player.
Yeah.
And, of course, unlike golf, where you've got to make the weekend, here you lose in the first round and you get cash. But the big thing about the Wimbledon for 2018 is Serena Williams. As we know,
yes,
Serena is absolutely fantastic. She's been fantastic at Wimbledon. She's been dominant in the grass court. But she's currently ranked 449th in the world, the ranking.
So if you take a year off to have a kid, you drop that quickly in the ratings.
It's a good question, Gareth, because when Tiger Woods took a year off to, I don't know, be broken, whore himself or whatever it was.
Right.
He still lingered in the rankings. He really did. Serena is like the greatest thing women's tennis, and she's dropped like an absolute rock. 449th in the rankings.
Hmm.
And we saw the same with Sharapova. Sharia Lawpova, she went down to also like nothing. So the people at the All England Club are saying, well, what can we rank Serena as? Because we can't actually seed her. Now, when you do go off to have a child or take a break, whatever, you get a sort of a protection that because of your seeding when you were fit and healthy, you can still play tournaments. So you get to play like 8 tournaments without being ranked. The thing is, you can never be seeded in these tournaments, no matter who you are. So Serena will be back. She hasn't had a great return after becoming a mother, but she will be back at Wimbledon, but maybe without a seeding, which could mean that she could be going. She playing in like court 18.
God, where, that would be something.
Where people like urinate against the side of the court and stuff, and she could be playing there.
Oh, it would be nice because you get those tickets super cheap.
You could. So
you might end up seeing Serena Williams at the price of a, you know.
Well, exactly. You'll see Serena Williams for a price of a pint, basically. It'd be very interesting to see Court 18 with about 27 capacity, just absolutely jam-packed. Yeah, so that's Wimbledon coming up.
Court 18 is actually so far out of Wimbledon that you have to drive a mile.
It's a car park. It's the only match you play on gravel at Wimbledon, and Serena might be playing on it. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So that's Wimbledon to look forward to. Australia. We know that they cheat at cricket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's now...
That's all we know about them.
There's now an ethics committee in Australian cricket. Now, the funny thing about this is that Australia is...
That's like when Jacob Zuma was made the what was he, the moral, what was that job they gave him to do, to rebuild the morality of South Africa or something? Remember when he was deputy president, that was one of the things he was instructed to be in charge of? I mean, can you imagine any more ridiculous thing?
Well, what I find funny about Australia having an ethics committee is that you know how nanny state this place is.
Sure.
I mean, there's a committee about how to teach a child to cross the road and not look at old men because you might be groomed.
Right.
Well, here you've got people who are already so anal about doing the right thing.
Yes.
And now you've got some other really patronizing people coming in. It's a non... That's what makes it even funnier. It's a non-profit organization that is basically coming in and telling them how to be ethically sound and to reinstate a moral compass in the sport. I'm not making this up. Some really exciting guy called Simon Longstaff and his board will be assessing all the things. I mean, when you make committees in life, you're really wasting time. It's like meetings. They're mostly a waste of time. So they're all going to sit around and talk about how they can realign the right sort of ethics and strategies to get Australia back to where it should be and get a culture in the team that's going to be something to look up to. Oh, they're sports stars. They spend a lot of time away from home. Just let them be. Just tell them not to cheat. Output cheating, not good. Being a cricketer, so be it. But the Aussies do have just behavioural problems by the looks of things. Nick Phipps took a piss in a bar the other day. Now, Nick Phipps is a senior Aussie rugby player.
Yeah, but when you say that, do you mean like peed in the
bar? Yeah, he went into a fancy place, a fancy bar.
Yeah.
And he urinated. He urinated in the bar.
Oh, okay.
The Woollahra Hotel in Sydney is a classy establishment. But Nick Phipps went in there dressed as a cow and urinated against the bar.
Sorry.
In his defense,
shouldn't be laughing at that. That's terrible.
In his defense, he was basically on his own bachelor party, I think it was. And he said that, he admitted he couldn't remember much about the incident and that it lasted only just a few seconds.
Uh-huh.
I hope that was still the incident he's talking about. But he takes full responsibility and no doubt will throw himself to another ethics committee because Australians that need to be told how to behave. This is so funny.
Absolutely.
Australian culture, they can't even appreciate their own culture anymore. It's a real shame. In Champions League last night, bloody exciting. Bayern Munich, to their credit, they are out of the Champions League. They drew 2-2 yesterday at Real, though. Benzema scored twice to eliminate the German team. But in the balance of play between the two legs, you've got to think these guys are really hard done by. But that is sport. That's what makes the great teams really great, is that even if they aren't playing their best, even if they are being dominated in certain areas, they score where it matters most. And that is exactly what Real Madrid have done. So they are through to the Champions League final again. They're looking for, I think it's a three-peat now. They've won the last 2 years. And it's just, this is what greatness is. It's relentless. It's relentless all over the place. And you think Ronaldo's the only guy that's going to score the goals? Well, then Benzema steps up. So you've always got to be at your best. And unfortunately for Bayern Munich, they just weren't quite good enough. But tonight sees Liverpool taking on Roma. Now, we know the aggregate score there so far is 5-2 in favour of Liverpool. But if Roma score 3 goals and Liverpool scores 0, then they are out. That's just the whole away goals rule. Makes it so exciting. But the big story actually at the moment is, will Liverpool fans be safe? Now, I remember in the first leg, there was these Roma fans armed with very stylish leather belts went and attacked a whole bunch of Liverpool people. Well, one such man, Sean Cox, is still in critical condition in hospital after that. And as a sort of gesture of goodwill, the Roma players have been warming up this week in shirts saying Forza Sean, obviously you're encouraging him to make a full recovery. And Roma authorities are saying, well, look, we are, there's such a minority of fans who are hooligans. So there's going to be 3,000 police officers deployed to the area to avoid any ugly scenes.
Mubs.
Hooligans. These unruly people who behave even worse than Australians. Right. Saying something.
I mean, that is really something. Wow.
So, 8:45 South African time tonight. You'll get to see it. It's going to be a fantastic match because Liverpool know they're not going to try to hold on to this lead because mostly they're not a defensive team. They're an attacking side. Klopp is an attacking kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Salah, Firmino. That's a great team. It's a really great team. But Roma, of course, were the team that did the impossible against Barcelona. So this is so beautifully poised for a fantastic match midweek here. Really exciting about this. F1, they want to change the rules again.
Oh no, to what?
You know, I can imagine 2024 or 2030, F1's going to be polo at this rate. Yeah. Every year they're changing the rules.
No, polo's dangerous. F1 will be more boring than that. F1 will be people like in, remember the MTN gladiators where everyone was padded up and then they'd pretend to like mud each other, but it, actually they wore such big foam pads that nobody ever really got hurt.
Oh, Gareth, trust me, you still get mudded in those pads, you still hurt, huh? You also fall to the ground. But anyway, everyone, they just want to change rules every single year. And now they're saying, yes, but we're going to change it to make it easier to overtake. So the FIA, it's the Federation of who cares? Basically, them and the F1, they've got this moral victory because some of the teams didn't want these new rule changes, but they held firm and they basically are pissing off the people who are paying them. When you think about it, because the teams pay money to be work that one at F1. You keep going against your clients, it might not work so well for you in the long run. So they want to basically change a few wings and a few, I don't know, just to make things easier for overtaking. But then in 2021, they are announcing sweeping changes.
A
major overhaul of technical sporting and financial arrangements within the sport. If you change a sport every year, you might be isolating yourself and alienating yourself from your fans. Just saying, F1. I know you guys are multi-billionaires, so you don't care what I say.
They don't give a shit.
But maybe, yeah. And, well, I think that's about it for today.
That's plenty
to go. I
mean,
all we want to talk about is Champions League, of course. That's the big deal.
No.
And obviously, there's been some fallout over the whole gender, this whole gender rule that IAAF is pushing. Now, of course, the IAAF have gone out of their way to make this thing stick because, of course, it's been doing so well. Look, it's one of those debates that will never die down. If you really think about it, now, a South African legal expert who's been assigned to the IAAF in their disciplinary tribunal, he's actually resigned from this, saying he can't be part of this anymore because he doesn't believe with the ethics, doesn't believe with the strategy of where they're going with this. And Canada are really up against this. They've sent a stern letter to the IAAF saying this gender discrimination.
Like, for Canada, that's like declaring war.
It is. This gender discrimination.
We're going to send a stern letter. When the Canadians send you a stern letter, they're really cross.
And when you really break it down, it's just basically saying that some people are just more gifted than the others in the testosterone departments. So they're saying, well, women can only be this. So now people are saying, well, now they're trying to redefine what women can be. So, you know, this is a murky area. But the IAAF are standing true on this because they don't want these mismatches, as they say.
So are we saying here that there's no way to control or monitor athletes' hormone levels to a point that is deemed to be within the rules of competing?
Well, they are saying that some people have too much testosterone, so therefore they can't compete as women. They must now either compete as men or compete in different things.
They want to even start an intersex category. So you don't enter as a man or a woman, you enter as an intersex sort of person because you have irregular testosterone or estrogen levels.
Yeah, so you can't dispute that. But then some people are saying, well, Usain Bolt had irregular structural components
advantages
that made him so ridiculously good. Some people on a very simple level are saying, well, Carsa's been blessed with the attributes that she has. She was born a girl, though.
Let her run. Listen, this is also a result of sport becoming way more serious than it should be. Caster Semenya went to some athletics meeting over the weekend. There was some meeting they had on, I think, Friday or Saturday. And people were there to see her.
Yep.
She pulls a crowd. And athletics is boring. People don't usually get up out of their beds and go off to see athletics. So if Caster can pull a crowd, give the woman some credit.
And, Babs, when you really think about it, Caster, for all her, let's just say, unfair advantage, has she broken any world records?
I don't know.
She's never broken a world record because the world records she's running against are when women used to strap their cocks against their thighs back in the 80s.
Whoa, look at the pictures of those women
running in Eastern Europe. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So she's given a hard time in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that. IAAF.
Look up Eastern European Olympic.
How about you?
East German Olympic team.
So holier than thou. How about looking up at your world records from the 80s when a drugs test was basically, did you take drugs? No. Okay, cool.
No.
Okay, cool. Go back.
Thank you.
All right. Here's Sia with Sid Fancy.
My goodness. So while we wait for Obama to get into the country in July for the Mandela Foundation and the work that he'll be doing there.
Yes, it's all part of Nelson Mandela's centenary celebrations. Madiba would
and
have
the
been
annual lecture. Yes. Correct. So in the meantime, congratulations to Koketso Moeti, who's a South African who's now been chosen to become an Obama Foundation Fellow. Now, she has been chosen out of more than 20,000 applicants from 191 countries around the world. She is now one of mere 20 to be selected. Yes, yes. Koketso is a social activist. Yeah, you have to give it up where you have to. She's a social activist and she's the executive director of something called Amandla.mobi. This is an app which helps bring people together for important causes. So they fight social justice and hope to bring democracy together through every mobile device. So through this work, she's now been accepted into the Obama Foundation as one of 20, which will be a massive benefit to her and the work that she does. Because really, ultimately, this foundation, the work that the Obama Foundation does, and being selected as one of the 20 fellows, brings you part into the program, which is a two-year all-expenses-paid opportunity, and it aims to connect activists and drive positive change within their community. So Koketso says that this is an awesome opportunity for her, and she believes there's so much to learn from what's going on globally. The Obama Foundation's mission, they say, is to inspire and empower people to change their world, from leaders who are already making an impact to people who are interested in becoming more involved but don't know where to start. So yeah, congratulations to her. More than 20,000 applicants, and she's chosen as one of 20. This is massive. So wanted to highlight her this morning for Said by Sia.
Very, very nice. That's terrific. So as we get ready for kind of the centenary celebrations in South Africa and Obama coming over, it's nice to know that one of our own is already making some serious waves there. It's almost 7 o'clock. When we come back, we'll hit some news. We've got a couple of fun things to get into, like that Washington Correspondents' Dinner, which was hilarious. I mentioned I listened to this woman who got so much attention for making a noise, Michelle Wolf. And you can listen to her yourself and tell me what you think. All of that coming up.
This is CliffCentral.com.